Proverbs chapter 4, look with me please, beginning with verse number 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. We'll look at a couple of other verses in this chapter, but let's stop right there with our reading. I want to speak tonight on this subject, children, commitment or convenience. Commitment or convenience. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you tonight for these young people. And Lord, I pray that we thank you for the first year of their educational experience. But Lord, there's so much ahead of them. And I pray that each one of them will walk in your path and fulfill your will for their life. Lord, I pray for their families as they seek to bring them up in this very strange and different world. God, I pray that you'll help them with that great, great mission of rearing children. Lord, bless us tonight as we go into your book. Give us an ear to hear. May it benefit all of us in some way. And I'll thank you for your help. I need it and ask for it in Jesus' name. And amen. The Bible makes it clear that Solomon was responsible for giving us the words of wisdom that are found in the book of Proverbs. I still believe that it's helpful and profitable for young people to read at least one proverb every day. I still believe that. I believe that is the book that they need to major in. Many of these proverbs are directed to young people. The phrase, my son, is used 23 times in the book of Proverbs. There are only 31 chapters, so almost in every chapter you'll find the words, the phrase, my son. The word children is used several times. I forget what I saw, 12 or 13 times. Children's children is used on several occasions. You find the word children here in verse number 1 as Solomon uses it to challenge his kids to hear his instruction. And he says in verse number 2, for I give you good doctrine. The word doctrine means that which is taught. So Solomon testifies to his kids that he gave them good teaching. He gave them good teaching. And friend, that is what he did. We know that much of the book of Proverbs was him instructing his children. Now here's my thought tonight. It is obvious that Solomon was committed to the rearing of his children. In his case, children were not just a matter of convenience, but a matter of commitment. A matter of commitment. You've heard me say something to this effect many times over these years. It takes no act of commitment to bring a child into the world. But it takes a huge act of commitment. It takes a boatload of commitment to bring them up in the world. There's a big difference. A big difference of bringing a child into the world and bringing one up in the world. Sometimes, I go to the hospital, as I did recently, with Will and Sammy and David and Christy Perkins. Now, the Munkowskis, that was their second child, but the Perkinses and the Huntleys had their first child. And it's always a special experience to walk in the hospital room where a husband and wife have given birth to their first child, little first newborn baby. And there's such a euphoria there. There's such an excitement. But I can't help but think as I stand there and congratulate them and share in their excitement and have a prayer of blessing for that baby, I can't help but think to myself, I wonder if they have any idea what's in store. You know, you could take the classes and you could read all the books, but there ain't nothing like doing it. And I sit there and I stand there sometimes and I wonder, man, all those big smiles. And there'll be some of those through the years, but there'll be some other looks as well over these next several years as you start to work. I'm telling you, it's like hunting. You know, hunting is so exciting, but when you pull the trigger, the work begins. And having that baby is so exciting in those first few moments there, first few days. But, buddy, when you get that little thing home from the hospital, the work sets in. And it takes a boatload of commitment to bring them up in this world. A boatload of commitment. In some cases, all it takes is the fulfilling of passion to bring a child into the world. But it takes the act of compassion to bring them up in the world. And remember what the earmarks of compassion are from the message last Sunday morning. Interruption, inconvenience, and involvement. Believe me, friend, all three of those are necessary if you're going to be committed to your children. Interruption. That's what some parents don't want today. They want the euphoria of having a child, but don't interrupt my life with bringing that child up. They don't want the inconvenience of it. They like the thrill of having a baby and the excitement of all the new clothes and the crib and decorate the room, all that stuff. But friend, I mean then to bring that child up? Oh, they don't want any part of that. At least that's what they act like. So it's a matter of convenience. We live in a world where children are a convenience. Children in the world's mentality bring us joy, bring us happiness, bring us financial help. And by the way, they do. There's a lot of people out there living a very nice life because they got 4, 5, 6, 8 children times so much every month coming in from our government. More coming in than some of what you men make in a month. That's all right. It's really tight in here tonight, but that's okay. That's true. Amen. That's true. It's unbelievable. They bring us financial help. They bring us fulfillment. They bring us excitement. And maybe, just maybe, if we are having trouble in our marriage, they will conveniently bring us together. Nothing could be further from the truth. If there's a crack in your marriage relationship, children will not heal it. They'll only expose it. Oh, it'll cover it up for a few days. But the long-term commitment that it takes, friend, doesn't cover it and heal that thing. No. It's a matter of convenience. Parents who approach children as a convenience soon tire of the responsibility that accompanies having them. It doesn't take too long for the excitement to wear off if kids are for convenience purposes only. And that's a shame. My heart goes out when I visit in a home where a child is just a convenience rather than a commitment. You understand what I'm saying tonight? You understand that, okay? Commitment is a lifelong endeavor with your child or children. I want to give you 3 thoughts tonight about this matter of commitment versus convenience. And your children, I was pretty impressed by those kids with that missionary song and that big word, emissary, in there. That's very difficult for them. I can't even say it sometimes properly when I'm singing that song, but they did very good. Commitment versus convenience. Write it down. Number one, commitment does what is best for them, not what is convenient for me. Commitment does what is best for them, not what is convenient for me. Look at verse 1 again. Look at what it says here. Actually, beginning with verse number 2. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved, in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. You get the idea here that Solomon was committed to doing what was best for his kids. He went back to what his dad taught him that was good and helpful, and brought that to their attention and taught them what he had been taught. It was not a matter of convenience for Solomon. It was a matter of commitment. Listen, commitment does what is best for them, not what is convenient for me. Television. Now, you may enjoy watching television, but is it best for them? Reading. You may not enjoy reading, but what is best for them? And commitment does what is best for them, not what is convenient for me. We know we get a lot of comments about speedy readers. And if you've not been introduced to speedy readers and put your kids in elementary school, you will be. And believe me, it is a task. It is an unbelievable task, but they learn how to read. And it's a funny thing, some of the folks that have left this place and have their kids in schools where they don't use the speedy reader have called back and said, man, what can we do to get our school? Can you give us information on speedy reader? We'd like for the kids up here or over here, wherever they are, to be involved in the process of learning to read through the speedy reader program. I know it's work, friend. I know it's work. One of ours was on that. I don't think Leah was on that, was she? Was Leah? Just Cherith. One of ours was on that program, and it is a hassle. But you tell me what one thing in life is more important than for a child than to learn how to read. And commitment does what is best for the child, not what's convenient for me. All right? So you might enjoy watching television, but what's best for your child? You may not enjoy reading, but what is best for your child? Is it convenient to rear them to be what you are? Or should you be committed to making them the best they can be? Now let that sink in for a minute. Is it convenient to rear them to be what you are, or should you be committed to making them the best they can be? Look, folks, if you were not brought up to excel academically, then it is convenient to pass along that same mold to your child. Well, I didn't learn that. It didn't hurt me. Is that what you're content with? Are you content with your child being what you are? Or would you like for them to be the very best they can be? That's commitment. There's a big difference. What is best for them? You know, I'm amazed sometimes. It seems like the priority oftentimes rests on the material. By that, I mean, I've heard this, Pastor, you know what? When we got married, my wife and I, we didn't have anything. And I'm not going to have, my kids aren't going to live like that. When we started out with nothing. And my kids aren't going to live like that. And usually that's said to justify some overindulgence in the making of money so that we can have things because I started out with nothing and I'm dead sure going to make sure that my kids have better than nothing. I wish that attitude was carried over into the educational and social realms instead of the material realm. I don't mind you, by the way, it didn't hurt any of us to start out with nothing. In fact, it probably did us a lot of good. And if you kind of did a statistical comparison, you'd probably find out that those that started out with everything haven't done as well as those that started out with nothing. I think what I would do, I would put that material thing on the bottom shelf, and I would look for every opportunity when it comes to education and social opportunities, and I would push them, and I would hope for the best for them in every area possible. You know, chemistry, I never had no chemistry. Didn't have any English either. Because you didn't have chemistry, you think your child doesn't need it. Why don't you want the best for them? Banquets? I never went to no banquet. Camp? I never went to no camp. And never encouraging them to go is convenient for you. Well, that may be, friend, but this is not about what is convenient for you. It is about what is best for them. What's best for the child? Commitment. I'm talking about commitment compared to convenience. Being committed to them is making sure that they are given the best opportunities possible, convenient or not. That's commitment. Commitment is making sure we do what's best for them, not what is convenient for us. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of homes where children are being raised on convenience and not commitment. I'm not talking about necessarily in the church, although sometimes it does creep into the church. Here's a mistake that I think parents make, that I see parents making. I think parents make a mistake keeping kids from something good because of personal failure or weakness in that area. I'll let that sink in a minute. Keeping kids from something good and helpful because of personal failure or weakness in that area. In other words, because I failed as a teenager in this area, or because I was a part of a youth group that was carnal, or because I went to a camp and somebody influenced me, or because I did this at this teen activity and the boys were like this, none of my kids are not going to go to any of that. Now, wait a minute. You're making a broad assumption there that all teenagers are bad, all youth groups are carnal, and all teenage activities are dangerous to their spiritual well-being. And that's not true. That's simply not true. Keeping them from some of those things is more convenient for you than being committed to what is best for them. Amen, Brother Angel. It's all right if it gets quiet. I don't care. I got a responsibility to look out for the well-being of the church. Right. By the way, friend, You better take a close examination to what happened when you were a teenager and figure out how much of it was personal failure as opposed to peer pressure. You know, I had a child that had a bout with bout of trouble. And for those of you that were here, you will remember that I stood up in front of the church and said, this is not a youth group problem. This is not a school problem. This is not a friend problem. This is not a peer problem. This is a home problem. This is a personal problem. On a Sunday morning, I didn't write off the school. I didn't write off the youth group. I didn't write off camp. I didn't write off youth activities because one of my children had a personal failure. Amen and amen. That would have been disastrous for my children, including that one. Been disastrous for them. Many good decisions were made at camp and many good times on youth activities. Just because the youth group that you were part of was carnal and in some cases wicked, that does not mean that all youth groups are the same. Well, how do I know? Go find out. Go on an activity. Now, Brother Hall, has that happened? You've had a parent show up on activities? Sure you have. Yeah, it happened not too long ago. And a parent rode along. Go find out. See what's going on. Be a part of it. Get involved. You see, I believe some are keeping their kids from youth activities while allowing them to be exposed to all kinds of influences through social networking. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. The social networking is doing 10,000 times more damage than the youth activity is. That's a double hypocrisy, a double hypocritical standard. I mean that. I hope I never catch you saying a negative word about a youth activity or a teen group, and you're showing up on Facebook and all that nonsense over and over and over again with all kinds of friends of all kinds of influences. You're a hypocrite. Amen and amen. I'm talking about commitment to what is best for a child. What is best for a child. It may be convenient for you to sit all of those things out, but if you are committed to doing what is best for them, you may want to check it out and think it over before you condemn something that may be helpful in your child's life. I mean that. I'm amazed and concerned sometimes that some people possibly keep their kids out of the church school because of how it went for you. Let me ask you a question. Whose fault was that? And I got just, you know, last week I went to staff devotions and I'm not going to say everything that I told the staff devotions last week because I'm going to make it part of my message for Amanda and Dan on Friday night. I'm not going to give the verse I gave and all the lessons and so forth. But I said, you know, we got to talking about the graduates of Faith Baptist Academy over these last 16 graduating classes. Now, I'm not taking into consideration the graduates from Dwight Baptist Academy. Some of them are in this room tonight. I'm not taking into consideration the graduates from the years that before I came here when it was Faith Baptist Christian School, I think that was the name of it. Not taking that into consideration. I'm taking into consideration the 96 graduating class to the 2011 graduating class. We've had 64 graduates. Here's the stipulation. How many of those 64 are still going to an independent Baptist church? They're still going to an independent Baptist church. 63%. 40 are, 24 are not. Now, I'm not into comparisons, Brother Nordgren, you know, but from my travels, I'm not up here boasting. God is hearing my words tonight, and I searched my heart before I came out here because I don't want to condemn the several classes here. So God knows my heart tonight. I'm not boasting or bragging, but from my travels and what I've been exposed to, I'm not sure that 63% is such a bad number. And I'm not satisfied with that. I wish it were 100. But those of you that went to Christian school, you start running the numbers. Start running the percentages of graduating classes. How many are in independent Baptist church, still in independent Baptist church, and how many are not? And for those that, you know, once in a while you hear, well, the school's just not what it used to be. We've had 16 graduating classes. When you divide it 8 and 8, the first 8 years, there were 18. There were 32 graduates. Amazing. We had 32 graduates the first 8 years and 32 graduates the second 8 years. Amazing. The first 8 years, 56% of the 32 graduates are still in the independent Baptist churches. In the last 8 years, 68% are still in independent Baptist churches. Out of 32, the last 8 years, 22 are still in independent Baptist church. Now, here's what blesses my heart. Of the 40, the 63% that are still in the independent Baptist church, of the 40 out of the 64 graduates, 37 are involved in some ministry service at their church. 37. Three attend. That's pretty good, folks. And that's what the purpose has been of the school all these years. The purpose has been that we're not necessarily everybody's going to go into full-time ministry, but everybody should be a full-time Christian. Walk across the platform, get your diploma, go to college, and become whatever it is that God wants you to become, but stay faithful to church. And be involved in church. And I'm tired of the talk about our school. You know, liars figure, but figures don't lie. I'm tired of it. Well, you know, it's not true. And the numbers prove it right there. I think God has blessed us and helped us to have a pretty decent school and a pretty good product walking across this platform getting diplomas. Amen, amen. That doesn't count the two graduating this year. That's just the last 16 years graduating classes. I'm just saying, friend, look, I've never been against anybody that ever homeschooled, but for somebody just to assume that I'm going to homeschool because those kids are going to turn out better and the school kids don't, you better figure up. And by the way, I ran some numbers on homeschool families, same stipulations, 66%. So it's only about 3% difference. Hello, amen. Are y'all listening tonight? I'm talking about commitment. You see, children are not a matter of convenience. They are a matter of commitment. And commitment is doing what is best for them, not what is convenient for me. I want to talk about what it is. Number two. Commitment looks at how to get it done. Convenience looks for a way out. Look at verse 11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. That's past tense. Am I right on that, English teachers? Have taught. Is that past tense? Help me. Okay, yes, good. Have led. I didn't graduate from FBA, man. I came out of public school. I'm telling you, I don't know. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. He's talking about his lifetime. Now, commitment looks at how to get it done. Convenience looks for a way out. Parents who have children for convenience sake only start looking for a way out. Mom, can you take Billy? I can't handle Billy. I can't have Billy. I can't handle this anymore. I can't deal with this. You know what they're looking for? An exit ramp. How do I get out of this? I brought this child into this world. Duh! Because it was all a matter of convenience and not commitment. See, before you start birthing those children, you and your husband ought to sit down, you and your wife ought to sit down and talk about this thing. You know what? We're going to bring a child. We're going to do more than just bring a child into this world. We're going to be committed to bring him up in this world. Amen? Did you ever start out to go on a fast that you were not committed to? If you're not committed to a fast, when I am committed to a fast, I have no problem. I'm serious. Really, I drink a little juice, water, and I have no problem. But if I am not committed, if I just say, yeah, I think I'll fast tomorrow, I start looking for an exit real soon. Does that happen with you? You know, well, this is not good for my health. And I think I'm lacking energy. And I must not drop off in my production. So I better just have a little bite. Your fast is as good as over when you start looking for an exit ramp. Just go ahead and eat. You're done. Okay? But if you're committed to it, man, there have been times over the years when there was such a heavy burden on my heart, and the Lord impressed upon me to go without food and spend that time thinking throughout the day. Every time a hunger pain hits your stomach, pray for this situation, pray for this child, pray for this thing. And over the years, when I have been committed to a fast, I have never had trouble keeping it. But every time I've only done a fast for convenience sake, I think I've broken it maybe once or twice. Now, what's what I'm saying tonight? People, parents who are committed, parents who are only having children for convenience sake, start looking for an exit ramp when the going gets tough. But parents who are committed start looking for a way to figure this out. What can we do with Billy? We need to learn how to handle this. We need to figure out how to deal with this. Parents who are committed are not looking for an exit ramp. They are looking for ways to get them further down the road. This is my son. This is my daughter. I'm not giving up. I'm going to go down the road with this child. I am committed to bringing them up. Amen. That's commitment. Number three, we're done. Commitment seeks what is right and good. Convenience follows what is popular. Look at verse 26. Let ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So here, ponder the path of thy feet. Commitment seeks what is right and good. Let all thy ways be established. Don't turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Convenience follows what is popular. It may be convenient to give them a cell phone at 14, but it may not be good. It may be convenient to let them have a Facebook account, but is it good? I got a call from a pastor in another state who's got a problem with a young person, and their school year just finished, and he's got a problem, and the dad is an influential man in the church, and he was seeking some advice. This is the last four and five days. Seeking some advice, what to do. Have you ever encountered this situation before? I'm not quite to this point, but almost to the place when a pastor calls and says, Brother Angel, have you ever? I just say yes. Brother Norgren, you know what I mean? Have you ever? Yes. Uh-huh. Whatever you're going to ask, believe me, I'm there. Been there. He said, I'm sending you an email. Can I have your personal email address? I'm sending you an email. This is a letter I received from the Father, and this is the situation, and I have a link I've sent you pictures of the young person's Facebook page, and this is what I'm dealing with. And so he sent me the letter of resignation that the man wrote, and he sent the link to the Facebook page, and I opened it, and I could not believe it was on that page. And then I scrolled down, and I saw people from this church, kids from this church, had made friends on that page. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This thing is out of control. It's out of control. And if you got a Facebook page and you use it for the honor and glory of God, amen, I'm for you. That's wonderful. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe that's rare. And I believe many people don't know what their kids are doing on Facebook. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives. If my child ever has a Facebook page and I don't have the password to get on that thing, I'll promise you that. I'll tell you what we got. We got a bunch of spineless daddies. You're spineless. You're afraid of your child. You're afraid of them. You're afraid of them getting mad at you. What I like to see is you get mad at them. In the right way. I don't mean abusive. I'm talking about righteous indignation. I'm serious. I'm as serious as a heart attack right now. Here I am trying to help a guy in another state with a problem, and some of our own kids are latched on to their friends. Oh, man. Don't you want to go on Facebook, Brother Angel, see what else is going on? Not on your life, friend. It'd bury me. It'd take me 3 weeks to get over it. I mean that. It may be convenient for them to have a Facebook account, but is it good? It may be convenient to put them into public school, but is it right and good? It may be convenient to let them have a boyfriend or girlfriend relationship, but is it good? It may be convenient to let them have a bedroom to themselves in the basement, but is it good? Because commitment seeks what is right and good. Convenience follows what is popular. But Pastor, all their friends have a cell phone and a Facebook account. They're in public school and they have boyfriends and girlfriends and they have a bedroom into them to themselves. What am I to do? Be committed to what is right and good for your child. And let them do what they want to do. But for heaven's sakes, have some commitment for your child. By the way, isn't that about the only commitment you can have? Yeah. But you can have it for yours. I'm telling you something tonight, friend. We got a society of people where children are a convenience. They're a matter of convenience and not commitment. And that's seeping into the New Testament church, and it's a shame. Before you bring a child into this world, you better talk with your husband, your wife, and say, you know what? We're not just going to bring a child into this world. We're going to bring a child up into this world and be committed to it. This is not for you and me, honey. This is not for me and you to feel good and be euphoric and look at a little flesh and blood and go, oh. This is for the purpose of rearing this little person for the honor and glory of God. Amen? And be committed to that. Of precious little kindergartners, graduate, you folks, you four families, you won't believe. Listen, that guy sitting right out there behind Brother Rodriguez, I handed him a high school diploma, I handed him a kindergarten diploma. And the young lady sitting on that back row back by her mother and sister back there, I handed her a kindergarten diploma. And if Chris Heisel wasn't working here tonight, I handed him the same class, I handed him a diploma. But Toby, it seems like yesterday. It's that quick. Boom. Right. I'm telling you something, friend. We only have a short window of time. And God help us if all it is convenience and not commitment. Right. Not commitment. What is it with you for your children? Is it convenience or is it commitment? Is it convenience or is it commitment? Commitment does what is best for them. Convenient is concerned about what's easiest for me. Commitment looks at how to get it done. Convenience looks for a way out, an exit ramp. Commitment seeks what is right and good. Convenience follows what is popular. I trust that you and I will do our best to bring our children up on the principles of commitment, not convenience. Amen? Let's stand together. Thank you for your attention tonight. I appreciate you coming and being here. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Didn't talk tonight about the matter of salvation. And maybe you don't even understand some of the things that was said tonight from the pulpit. Let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven? It's the most important decision anybody ever makes in life. And at the close of the service tonight, if you catch one of us, just say, hey, or talk to somebody. If you're not saved, we'd love to show you how to be saved. Parents, what is it for you? Is it convenience or is it commitment? Man, be committed. Be committed. Don't look for a way out. Don't do what's easiest for you. And don't follow what's popular. You be committed with your children. Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, our church. Give us, I pray, wonderful young people, as you already have through the years. Thank you for so many. God bless them. Thank you for them. And Lord, in that number, some that are not in Independent Baptist Church tonight are still in church. Church is still a part of their life, and I rejoice in that too. And I'm happy, God, for the ones that have gone on to stay in church and follow you. Now, Lord, bless them, I pray. Bless this graduating class of kindergartners. Bless these seniors coming out Friday night. Amanda, Dan, Lord, bless them as they go on with their lives. May they follow you. And we'll thank you for it. Help us tonight. Help all the parents in this room, all of us, to make our child rearing a matter of commitment, not convenience. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, ladies.